Greetings tonight in the precious name of Jesus again. Sorry about that. Got so enraptured with singing, I forgot to get my Bible out. The way we're singing, why I could have a hymn sing all night long, and it's just beautiful. And there's been in times past where God moved mightily while people were singing too. There, I just read a story this week of one. They were worshiping the Lord, and middle of summer, the fella decided that was running the meeting decided to sing Silent Night, Holy Night, because it was precious time and sweet. And there was a drunk going by. He heard this song and he said, "Something's wrong. I better get off this drink because it must be Christmas in July." And he got converted. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ain't God good? And there's different times. I know they were singing "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior" one time. And the song wafted out across the land, and down on a barge there was a worker, and these words come to him, "Pass me not," and he wasn't even close to the meeting, and he got converted as well. And there's if you read hymn history, there's story after story like that of the power of song. And I want to thank you tonight for singing. I believe Psalms 24 tells us, I believe this with all my heart. It tells us here, Psalms 24, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory, Selah. And what happens is, when we sing, like we are, we open our hearts wide open, and the King of glory will come in. And I believe as much as we give it our all at the beginning is how much we will receive throughout the rest of the service. So continue to do that when it's time to worship the Lord. Do it with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because you will only benefit from it in the rest of the service. Now, what was that last number that we had sang there? 91. I just was really... this is another thing that is really a blessing. Number 5, it's not in our other hymn books. Did you notice that? "Oh, to be like thee while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit, fill with thy love. Make me a temple, meet for thy dwelling, fit me for life and heaven above." Praise the Lord. What a beautiful verse. I was so blessed. I actually am blessed with this little song, period. So anyhow, thank the Lord. Well, turn with me in your Bibles for an opening verse in 1 John 2, verse 20. We've been hearing the Word these past nights. We've been being encouraged. We've been being blessed. We've been sitting at the feet of Jesus. The song says, "Sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear Him say." And tonight the title is Unction to Function. We have, we want to continue to function in the Lord. We want these things that we have heard to come forth in our lives. We want them to take root, bear root downward, and bring seed upward. I think there's a verse in the Bible like that. But anyhow, Here in 1 John 2, verse 20, it says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." Shall we pause before the Lord again here before we go farther? Father in heaven, we worship you. We honor and praise your holy name. Father, we again bless you for being our God. And Lord, we thank you that we could sing those songs with clear hearts. And Father, sing those songs with joy. And Father, with zeal and fervency, we bless and praise you for that, Lord. And they were the cry of our hearts. But Lord, again, here we come in the name of Jesus, praying, Lord, that you would have mercy upon us again. As the Word of God is opened, we pray, Lord, for unction. We pray, Father, that you would have mercy upon us. Lord, like you did there on Mount Carmel, we pray that you would send the fire. Lord, tonight, and consume our sacrifices. Oh, Father, we pray. We pray that you would have mercy upon us, Lord. God, some whatever they're facing here, part the Red Sea. And Father, we pray that you would open your word to us. Give us understanding. Father, we need that. You must do that. Our hearts are willing. We want to understand, but Father, the Holy Spirit has to teach us. And He has to give us understanding. Father, by faith, we do open our hearts here. And we pray that tonight our hearts would burn within us. Father, as we look into your word. Father, we commit this evening into your hands. We pray that you would continue to watch over us as your children and as your sheep. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Unction. What does that word mean? There's only a couple words in the Greek for that. All it means is anointed. That's all it means. But that's the only word about that's there. But there's anointed. That's a big word. I don't mean that's all it means. And also, what's the word function mean? It means in the doing and executing or performing of anything. And may the Lord bless each one of us, as we had heard there on Monday night, of having the fear of God. And then on Tuesday night, we heard of having faith that'll move mountains. And then on Wednesday night, we are the beloved of God. And Thursday night, we seen that us fathers, that's where the buck stops. What an opportunity. And then we seen on Friday night to be finished with the world. And then we seen on Saturday night the blessing of... that was last night. Huh? Oh, yes. Christianity is perpetual. That's too bad. This week's almost over. So we need to go on from here. And we want to have the Lord working it out in us. And He tells us here in verse 20, we haven't... Oh, yeah, and then this morning we heard about being servants one to another. But He says here in verse 20, we have an unction from the Holy One. And here tonight, we have an anointing. Now, in this word was only one time in the Scriptures, but there is another, the Greek word is found two more times here in Scripture, and we go down to verse 27 for that. But the anointing, that's the same word as unction. And those are the only... unction is once, and anointing here is twice in verse 27. The anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And we balance truth with truth here tonight. Just because it says here that the anointing teaches us all things, we don't say that we don't need our brothers. We don't say that. We do need our brothers. And the anointing of God comes through our brothers sometimes and teaches us the truth as well. But the anointing here that we have received of Him abideth in us. And then it also tells us that the anointing teaches us and is truth and is no lie. And one thing sure it has taught us is abide in Him. Abide in Christ. And now, little children, abide in Him. So if we want to continue to have the unction, we'll see here in the next point that we cannot do this of our own strength. We need the Lord. We need His anointing. We need His unction. And to do that, we have to continue to abide in Him. Now, we see here that we must abide, and I don't have time tonight to go through 1 John. But he tells you there's, I think, about five different places he talks about abide or abideth in Him in 1 John. Look at it sometime. What a blessing it is. But if we go back to verse 6. Again, because we are abiding in Him, through that the anointing and the unction can abide in us. Then he tells us here in verse 6, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk even as He walked. So we see here tonight that to have the unction and the anointing from the Lord, we must abide in Him. Then the anointing will continue to abide in us. And if we are abiding in Him, what it means is we must continue to obey His commandments. The Bible says in Matthew 7, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way which leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And we have the teachings there in the Sermon on the Mount. So continue, dear ones, to abide in Christ's teachings. Continue to abide in Christ. Continue to seek His Word. And the anointing will abide in you. And you can continue to have unction. Now, turn with me to John 12, 24. John chapter 12, verse 24. Verse 23. We had seed this wheat. And verse 23 says, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, we heard this morning about serving Christ. Let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. What does that mean? He'll prize and value someone like that. But so we see here tonight that except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So let self continue to die. Let self continue to fall on the ground and die so that the truth can come forth. And praise the Lord tonight, if you fall in the ground and die, you will bring forth much fruit. The Bible promises that. What a glorious thing. 2 Corinthians 12:9. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Here, Paul, he had a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, in verse 8. And verse 9 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I can't, I'm not here, I wish I was, like Paul. Paul says here in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And that's a challenge to my own heart. Paul says he gloried in those things, in infirmities and reproaches, necessities. Paul also said, I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. And here Paul says, in necessities, in persecutions and distresses, he glories in them because he knew that it would make him weak. And as he is weak, then Christ can be strong. And that's what we want in our lives. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4, one chapter over. My, look at this powerful verse. For though, talking about Jesus, in verse 3 he says, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. I was blessed with that verse. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Praise the Lord. That is a promise. That is a powerful verse. It just really was spoke to my heart here this week looking at it. For he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. We can be weak in him. But then he also promises we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Take it, brother, and run. Take it, sister, and run. I know the Bible says, if there is no vision, the people perish, it tells us in Proverbs. And some of these things of perpetual Christianity and things, they might have not been new things to you, but they might have been brought fresh to the surface. And we feel overwhelmed. We feel, how can we do it? So that's all right. Our weakness should drive us to the Lord, and His power then can rest upon us, and He can work out His glory and His praise in us by His strength as we're weak. Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, the Bible tells us. And we want the power of the resurrection, but it also says the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. And I wish I could say, stand here tonight and say that you can have the power without the cross. But I can't say that. Through the way to power and unction is the cross. And the Bible says we want the power of His resurrection, but we need the fellowship of His suffering, and we need to be made conformable unto His death. Now, another thing. Okay, we see we must stay weak. We must stay weak before the Lord. Now, look at this promise. Go to Isaiah 44 and some more verses that set our hearts ablaze with promise. Verse 1. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. That's a promise, dear ones. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Look at this. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground, and I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. We've seen them here this afternoon at that baptism. Those willows by the watercourses springing up. And then he says, one shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. My, what a promise. Stay thirsty. If you nurture that thirst, God says He promises He will pour water on him that is thirsty, and those that have dry grounds He will flood. And He promises He will pour His Spirit on our offspring. That's what we want. Each one of us. We want God to pour His Spirit on my offspring. And then they can spring up, and one's going to be the Lord's, another's going to call himself by the name of Jacob, and another's going to subscribe with his hand, right? And there's beautiful things, promises, things of blessing for the next generation. Dear ones, keep stirring that thirst, and never get where you're content. Never get to the place where you are satisfied, or that thirst is just a little trickle that you want. But stay thirsty. Stay thirsty. One that's running and running and running out in the heat. He is thirsty. You want to drink the whole cup instead of one sip. So dear friend here tonight, drink. Drink from the fountain. We had in the prayer room, prayers were made to, Lord, to that song, Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow. Thirsting for more and deeper communion, yearning thy yearning thy love more fully to know. Open the wells of grace and salvation. Pour the rich streams deep into my heart. Cleanse and refine my thought and affection. Seal me and make me pure as thou art. Thirsty. God said, if you're thirsty, He'll pour out His seed upon your offspring. Now, I said I can't... the power, the unction, don't come except through the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Just one more verse. And we know in the New Testament it tells us, we must carry our cross, take up our cross and follow Him. But here in 1 Corinthians 1:18 it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. It don't say that here. It says that in Romans 1. Here it just tells us, we that are saved, it's not foolishness to us, the cross. It is where the power comes, is what it's saying. The preaching of the cross, it's to them that perish, it is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, That's where the power comes from. So continue to stay at the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Now turn with me to Romans 5 for some more promises. We had there last night for in verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not. And we had that this afternoon. As sin grows more sinful, and as sin abounds, we have the promise grace will much more abound. And we see here that that is the purpose of the law. The law entered in verse 20 here, that the offense might abound. We see that the law entered and it showed us that we can live. It's not the thing that gives us the power over sin, but it made it that it's more sinful. But praise the Lord, it tells us where sin is abounding, grace did much more abound. So, dear ones, don't continue in sin. If grace has come, then get out of sin and stay out of sin so that grace can abound. Shall we say then, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! If we're dead to sin, don't live in it any longer. And grace will continue to flow. And you can rest in that promise. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Live in Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, it wouldn't help us to overcome sin. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And here tonight, what are you after? What are you after? Are you after the flesh or after the Spirit? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Where do you go when you have time off? Where do you go when you have a free night? Where do you go when your mind can freewheel? You can rest. What are you after? Are you after the things of the Spirit? Or are you after the things of the flesh? And here this evening, go after the Spirit. Because to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. What do you do Sunday afternoons? Do you keep the day holy as unto the Lord? Or is that the day to go putting down the big lake out here on your speedboat? Or is it it's a Sunday afternoon, it's time to relax, and we go after the things of the flesh? I actually believe that day is holy unto the Lord, and we should keep it holy to the Lord. Even though people say we have been the Sabbath day has been set free in Christ, still there are Old Testament scriptures and others where it pointed to the day that Jesus was the day he resurrected, and that day then is what the disciples kept. They kept the first day of the week holy to the Lord, and I think we should do the same. We should not have to go shopping on Sundays, and we should not have to go be doing our fleshly things on that day, or doing some office thinking in our minds. No, we keep that day holy to the Lord. If there's a time that we can be at rest, or what are we after? Do we go after the flesh, or do we go after the things of the Spirit? And here again tonight, as families, we play. There are nights we'll go out and throw the ball around, and we'll go out and play together and get the quoits or the croquet out and do those things. But that's not a thing that happens every week, or a thing that we're after. We'd rather go after the things of the Spirit, because to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So live in Romans 8. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, verse 9, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But look at this verse. But if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That Spirit, Sunday morning, years ago, resurrection morning. And that's another reason why we get together and worship the Lord on Sunday. We are celebrating the resurrection. Now when we have the communion, we commemorate the death and suffering of our Lord Jesus. But when we get together and worship on Sunday, we're remembering the tomb is empty. Jesus rose from the dead. And that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead can dwell in you. Praise the Lord for that. What a glorious thing. That morning, they didn't need the angels to roll back the stone so that Jesus could come out. I believe they rolled back the stone to show that it was empty. He was already resurrected. And that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead can dwell in you and quicken you, so you can have that power, that unction to function. Dear friends, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Ah, this is precious words. One of my favorite chapters. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So, dear ones here this evening, if you're going to live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if ye, through the Spirit, that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead that's dwelling in you, do mortify the deeds of the body, it's a promise ye shall live. And then you can be led by that same Spirit, and it just is a continues on, and as he lives in us, as he leads us, it bears witnesses with our spirit that we're one of his, and then we just want more and more, and we want to grow and keep on going. Galatians 6:8 tells us, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And dear ones, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, the Bible says. So continue, dear ones, to not be weary in well-doing. Sow to the Spirit. Don't curse sow to the flesh in your families. Sow to the Spirit. And it'll produce spirituality. You sow, continue to sow to the Spirit, you'll reap more spirituality. And that's a set down law in God's economy, set down law in even in out in the creation. What you sow is what you're going to reap. You're not going to sow an apple tree and get an orange. You're going to get apples. And here tonight, if you're going to just be after the flesh and constantly doing things in the flesh with the family and not being interested in spiritual things, why, that's going to produce fruit. Either way you sow, so sow to the Spirit. And you will reap spiritual things. And we don't have to be, and then don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Psalm 68:28. Tells us this. The Lord has commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, what thou hast wrought for us. That's our prayer. What God has wrought for us, strengthen it. Now, we need this strength. We need this power and anointing. Turn with me to John 2. Okay, we want to be spiritual. We want to be full of the Spirit. We want to be living in the Spirit. We want to be led by the Spirit. Here we have John 2. The marriage in Cana of Galilee. Verse 1, in the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I say the same to you tonight. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. We know here this evening that, you've probably heard this many times already, but we know that wine is a picture of the Spirit. And we know that water is a picture of the Word. And here tonight, dear friends, if you're only going to have the Word, you're going to dry up. If you're only going to have the Spirit, you're going to blow up. And if you're going to have the Word and the Spirit, you're going to grow up. So, friend, here this evening, dig into the Word. And then let God turn that into wine. Fill yourself up with the Word. The same as these here of servants did in at the Cana of Galilee. Fill yourself up with the Word. Fill yourself up with the water. And then when it's time that you need the grace of God to minister, to serve, to be an encouragement, God can turn it to wine. And what do you think them servants thought? They knew what was in that pot. They knew. They knew it was not wine. They thought it was not wine. They thought it was water. So, but they drew it out in faith. And God turned that to wine. And it was the best wine that was had. And that's what happens. Continue to fill yourself up with the Word. And then when it's time for grace to flow, God changes that and things come out that you didn't know were there. You need the Word as well. Having unction to function. Now, let's go to 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter chapter 1. More promises. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power has given unto us all things. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That's the calling. He's called us to glory and He's called us to virtue. And we know that virtue is moral excellence, manly strength, backbone, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we have the promise here that He's given us all things through the divine power that pertains unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Jesus, because He's the one that called us to glory and virtue, and we have these great and precious promises that we can be partakers of His divine nature and through that escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And you want to be finished with the world? You can have it. You have everything you need at your fingertips, power, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and He will guide you that you can escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. But then, you don't want to sit there. He tells us in verse 5, beside this, giving all diligence. And Christian friend here tonight, it is diligence. Add to your faith. Continue to grow. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you want to minister to your family, you want to minister to your children, you want to minister to your brothers and sisters, you want to minister to the lost and dying. If these things be in you and abound, when it's time to serve, you will not be barren, you will not be unfruitful. And through that you'll have the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if these things are not being built in your life, you lack these things, you're blind, you cannot see afar off, and you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. And an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear ones, that's right. Keep growing. Keep growing. Keep adding to your faith. Keep adding virtue and knowledge, temperance, patience and godliness, and these brotherly kindness and charity, and make sure they are abounding, and not that you're lacking. Give diligence, dear ones, to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Praise the Lord for that. Now, turn to Ephesians 3, verse 16. Don't forget these promises. Actually, we had the beholding, God loves you. Now, verse 20, we had there in 16 to 19. Now, let's go to verse 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Don't forget to continue to ask. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. Ask. Continue to ask. Continue to seek. Now I know that can be individually and it can also be corporately. And I heard this little statement one time and I believe it's true. How popular the church is how who shows up Sunday morning. How popular the preacher is who shows up Sunday night. How popular Jesus is who shows up at the prayer meeting. Think about it. It's the serious thing of prayer. And don't quit asking. The prayer meeting should be the fullest meetings. Actually, what we should be doing is by the prayer that is happening in our lives, that should be the barometer. What is a barometer? You look at that thing so you know what's happening with the weather. And let that be the focus let that be the barometer of your life. Prayer. So we need to abide in Christ. We need to see our weakness. And if we see our weakness, we will ask. And then we carry our cross. And then we continue to turn from sin so grace can abound. We live in Romans 8 and we sow in the Spirit. And also then we continue to ask. And we see that we have all the strength we need to live the Christian life and we continue to add to our faith. John 5, 39 to 42. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. If we come to Jesus, we will have life, the Bible promises. And continue to search the Scriptures, because that's where eternal life is. Romans 12, verse 11. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Don't be slothful in business, but be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That word fervent means to boil over. It means to glow. And what does the Bible tell us in Revelation 3? But He don't like us if we're lukewarm or cold. He wants us to be hot. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Galatians 5, verse 16. Verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And then we know what the lusts of the flesh are. They're lusts of the flesh, and the lusts of the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to another. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, and then we have the works of the flesh. Then in verse 22 it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The sky's the limit. Go for it. Now, the Bible says in verse 19 that the flesh is works. But in verse 22, it's fruit. So what's happening is the flesh, you're working that. The fruits are coming. And you're not, that's from the Spirit. That's a fruit. That's something that you're, there's two different things there. Working and Spirit. So, Spirit is fruit. And that's something that's coming forth. Does a tree that has fruit, does it manufacture that out there on the... No, it comes, the fruit, it comes from the inside and comes out. But the flesh, that's works all the way. Now he tells us, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous. Well, and then it continues on. Now, in this thing of living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, God wants us to, what we think, you know, you can go come before the Lord and, well, I think I'm doing pretty good in this living in the Spirit. But when it comes to the fruits coming forth, the walking and the living, they're, sometimes they can be pretty far apart. But what God says here is, bring them two together. If you say you're living there, then make sure you're walking there. And make sure those things are together. You're living and walking, they are together. Not that you think you're over here, but in reality, you're only here. If you think this is where you are, then try and make sure that you're walking there. So, may we continue to do that too. Go back to Matthew 25. One thing sure, we know that is a... This is what strengthened the church in the book of Acts. The Spirit or Holy Spirit is mentioned 53 times. But here in Matthew 25, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil. For our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, verily unto you, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And again, we know here this evening that the Spirit is a pitcher of oil. And here tonight, the foolish virgins weren't being filled. The foolish virgins were empty. And when Jesus come back, He left them outside a shut door. A door that could never be opened again. A door that was, didn't matter how much banging, how much knocking, how much prying or whatever they'd done, that door was shut for good. And here this evening, are you a wise virgin or are you a foolish virgin? Are you one that is full of the oil, plenty in stock, or empty? Dried up. There's nothing there. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, quench not the Spirit. The Bible also says in Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Spirit. And the Bible also says in Hebrews 10:29, don't do despite, which is defiance with contempt to the Spirit of grace. Because this thing's real. One of these days Jesus is coming back. One of these days He's coming back to some that their lamps are trimmed and burning. And there's a fire. There's a glow inside of here. They're fervent. They're boiling. We read there in Romans 12. There's a fire inside there. And tonight, that's the unction we need in these last days. We have these teaching. We have these truths that we heard. But we are also need the fire. If it's just teaching and there's no fire, why, it's not going to produce. But those two together, we need fire. We need the burning inside our hearts. We need that to be alive and glowing. Have our lamps all trimmed and burning. We're not going to, we're not going to see what we would like to see in years to come. Revelations 22 verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So to each one of us, that's the cry. That's the heart of the Lord. Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And he that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. And let us be a prepared people with a fire burning in the lamp, that we can be ready when Jesus comes. And also, till He comes, we occupy and we continue to perpetuate the Christianity, and we continue to reach out and bring others into the fold so that there can be more that are ready when Jesus comes. At this time, shall we stand for prayer? Father in heaven, we bless you tonight that there is grace, there is strength, there is power to live the words that you speak to our hearts. Father, we don't have to live in defeat. We don't have to live overwhelmed. We can be undone, yes, Father, but Lord, we can come to you and continue to move forward by faith, continuing, Lord, to fill our lives by your word, continuing, Lord, to trust you for the strength, the anointing, the unction, Father, to bear fruit in our lives. Lord, that's our cry here tonight. We could, Lord, run. We could leave. We'd have that freedom. But we think of that servant back there in Exodus who took his ear to the doorpost and he said, "Pierce my ear, O Lord my God." And that's what we say to you tonight too, Father. Take us to your door. Lord, we're here to stay. We don't want to serve no other gods. We realize, Father, that grace can't flow if our heart is full of other things. And Father, we confess tonight we need you. Lord, you have not come back yet. And Lord, we do, oh Father, pray for strength. Pray for grace. God, we have children to train. Lord, we have young ones coming on. And Lord, we have an enemy that's out to steal. He's out to kill and he's out to destroy. So Father, we cast ourselves upon you here this evening. Strengthen the things that you have wrought. We pray, Lord, that you would have mercy upon the young ones. Give us the courage. Give us the grace, Father, to train and bring their wills into subjection. Continue, Lord, to go after their character. Continue, Lord, to mold them and shape them, Father. Lord, we pray in the middle ones, Father, we pray that we can continue to mold and shape. And Lord, the ones, Father, that are getting up there into that age where their accountability is slipping, Father, be with us, Lord. Help us, Father. Have mercy. We don't want to sidestep. We don't want to goof. Lord, we don't want to, be too slow or too fast. We want to be in the center of your will. And we pray, Lord, that all of our children can enter into the fold. Lord, we pray for the ones that are converted. Keep them, Lord. Give them vision. Give them purpose. Give them, Lord, a desire for holiness. And Father, they have to embrace the truth on their own. God, they can, they have the blessing of living there in mom and dad's home. And they can have the blessings of the teaching and the training. But Father, and Lord, our desire is that they would be like the Rechabites, where they grab a hold, Lord. And Father, when we're gone, they choose it with all their heart. And they are propagating the faith. And Lord, we could be maybe like Jesse, who's seen David, and he was blessed, and he was thankful. Father, we pray for the young marrieds in this room, ones that have just reached, stepped over the line, ones that have just had little ones. Father, ones that don't have little ones yet, God bless them. And Lord, draw them together. And Lord, let them be sold out for you. Stay at the doorpost. Continuing, Lord, to let you bore their ears because they want the whole gospel. And Lord, they want to be able to be faithful. Father, we also pray for ones, Lord, all of us, that you would give us a burden for the lost. And Father, we could continue to not keep the gospel. Continue to not keep the grace of God. But Lord, continue to be weak. And Lord, through that you make us strong. And God, when it's time to share, we don't hide in the fear of man. But Lord, instead we go forward and share. Father, we pray for this burn area. Have mercy upon it. Have mercy upon the Amish people. Have mercy, Lord, and we pray that you would bring souls into the kingdom. We pray, Lord, that the transforming work of Christ, Lord, would move and blow here in this county. And Father, You would also pour out Your grace and strength upon the congregation here. We pray that You would anoint them with the Holy Ghost. We pray that You would continue to draw them together. We pray, Lord, that You would drive the enemy away. And Lord, we pray that You would lead them and guide them into ways of truth. We pray too for the church in Allen County, Father. Lord, many of them are here this week. Praise the Lord. Lord, we were blessed to meet all these dear people. Father, we pray that You would give them vision. Give them purpose and understanding up there too, Father. Lord, the large numbers and God to disciple and train and lead. Give them Your heart. And Lord, give them the courage to step forward in faith, doing what they need to by leaning on You. Father, we trust that to You this evening. Lord, we pray that You would be with us this coming week, Lord. You know how sometimes after meetings the devil comes extra strong. God, we intercede. Don't let him come. And Lord, snatch the seed away. Don't let him be a bird that comes, Father, and takes off with the seed. But Father, we pray that You would put hedges of protection, Lord, like it talks about in the Minor Prophets. A wall of fire about each one. Father, we intercede for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. So that, Lord, this Word can take root and bear seed. Lord, we commit these things into Your hands. And Lord, we pray that we would not fall. But Lord, we commit ourselves to the One that tells us there in Jude, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and is able to present you faultless to an all-wise God before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I want to thank each one for